Thank you, Jesus. This is Sunday morning, 8:23:20. I came across this a couple of days ago, and I thought I would read it because, as we're going to see, as I teach today, I'd say one of the weak things about the churches is they're always looking for a bailout. They're always looking for somebody to do something for them, instead of taking it upon themselves to do what they're supposed to be doing. And this is, and I get a little bit grieved sometimes because so much of what you hear in the alternative media about the days we live in is all about the natural side of it, but very little implication is put on the spiritual side of it. And to me, the spiritual side is the most relevant side. Even, you know, Q on many occasions has brought up that this is a spiritual battle. It tries to keep it in perspective on the day and the hour that we live in. But this Anon, or it just says anonymous here, it's talking to the worldwide patriots. This is the Great Awakening. A lot of Anons are awakening to the fact that this whole thing is about spiritual forces at battle. Not all Anons get this, and for many it's too much to believe, at least right now. This is part of what Q means when he says the end is not for everyone. Q quotes scripture and admonishes us to pray. Q states explicitly that this is a spiritual battle, and yet there are Anons who can't handle this reality. They get mad and respond with hatred. It's up to you to dig and learn the spiritual truths of this battle and align yourself with the Christian faith Q speaks of. This is the most significant part of the Great Awakening. Wake up, people. So that's why we're going through what we're going through right now, is because they're awake, trying to get people awake. Because people that aren't awake are dangerous. They're dangerous to the movement. You owe it to yourself to not just believe anybody, even if it's me. Don't believe anybody that just comes down the pike. Do your own research. Seek the Lord about it. Let the Lord speak to you about it. Because you're going to believe what the Lord speaks to you over what anybody else says to you. So you owe it to yourself. It's your responsibility as a patriot to do so. There's not going to be any more of this, what we've lived under, the tyranny we've lived under. You know why? It's because we let the government do everything and we just went around our business and didn't pay any attention. That's why we're in the place we're at. And the devil took advantage of that. So we have a responsibility. Okay. With that said, we're gonna teach this morning on a subject called perfect love. We're gonna turn to 1 John. Perfect love. Perfect love. 1 John 4. Don't just wait on me. See, that's the problem. We listen to the news to get everything. We just took whatever they said, hook, line, and sinker. We didn't pay any attention. We just took what they said. And we were naive enough to think, like Christians do, that everybody's nice and everybody's going to do the right thing. Well, that was America many years ago. And the ones that we trusted to give us the truth are the liars. Yeah. Perfect love. 1 John 4. This is, start with verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Is that what I just said? Isn't that what Q admonishes us to do? Q has never told anyone to do anything, and they come against Q. Right now they're trying to sabotage Q and make it look like Antifa showed up parading as Q Anons. They're doing anything to discredit the movement. Well, they can't discredit God. This is God's movement. Mm-hmm. They can't discredit it. So there's a lot of false prophets out there, a lot of them pretending to be things that they absolutely are not. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof we have heard that it should come and even already is in the world. Yeah. You are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, I think it was last week the Lord had me bring about, don't argue with people anymore. We are past that time. If they'll believe it, they won't. If they won't, just shake the dust off your feet and go somewhere else. Don't argue with people. Don't fight. Don't get out there like a lot of patriots are doing and trying to fight with these Antifa thugs and BLM. No, it's not where Christians fight. They don't even fight on their knees. They fight with their mouth, the sword of the Spirit. That's the way Jesus wins his battles. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. So I started looking up some of these words here. Fear. Fear is alarm or fright. Torment is penal infliction. Penal infliction, that's like imprisoned. What I see out of this is that fear is like prison, and a bad prison that inflicts torture like a POW. The word love there is affection or benevolence, like a love fest. When we learn to accept God's love, we will live in a love fest. When we are in fear, we are in a house of torture. The love fest will cast out the torture chamber. We are love children born of a love God. It's in us. I'm not talking about human love, because it'll turn to hate in a minute. Phileo love. People say, I'm in love with this person. What they're really saying is, I'm in lust with them. That's not love. That's lust. The love of God is love, true love, true love. Okay, now turn to Romans chapter 5. I can't help it. Love, true love. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein you stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So, what does that say to you? It don't matter what you're going through. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. God has given you that love. He's given it to you to love others, but he's also given it to you as an assurance that he's with you. And his love does not fail. It won't fail you. This is what I think about it. Well, love there means affection, benevolence, a love fest. When we learn to accept God's love, we will live in a love fest, okay? This love is not our love, it's God's love. So much of the time, the emphasis is put on us performing God's love, but I believe this is not accurate. This passage indicates to me that when you recognize the love and receive the love, you are enabled to love. It's like when I receive God's love and I know I'm loved and I have that confidence and whatever comes my way, God sees me through and I don't have to be afraid, then I can go out and love others. All right, shed abroad. I was kind of curious about that word shed. His love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It means to pour forth or to bestow. To me, it was like a gusher of his love. I see the grace of God here. This is a grace, the fruit of the Spirit, to help us to be free from the fear and torment of the other master. A greater understanding of God's love in us causes the fear to leave our lives, and it also enables us to love one another with the same love that God loves us with. This is not a work of the flesh, but a thing bestowed. When you're loved, then you can love. If you have been unloved, and most have been, then by the new birth and renewing of the mind, we get to know our Father and His Son and the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and His love begins to set us free, and then we can help others to get free. God's love sent His only Son to the cross so that He might have many sons. So, He thinks highly of us, doesn't He? To send His only Son so that we could be a son also. Not the Son of God, but a son. All right, I'm going to look at a few scriptures here. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So Jesus said, Father, I'll go, and I will take out the sin that caused the separation between God and man so they could come in and be a part again. That psalm, Father, we have confidence by the blood of Jesus to enter into the place where you are. There's no separation between us and God. All right. Jesus was the firstborn. Now flip with me to Romans chapter 8. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this perfect love. You know, you hear people say, well, they act like God's dead. No, he's not. He's love. He's not dead. The opposite of fear is not faith, but love. A lot of people think that faith and fear are opposites, but they're not. Love and fear are opposites. All right, Galatians 5:6. This is a line upon line teaching here. For in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Our faith will not work without our knowledge and our understanding and our receiving God's love. Now we thought because we said ugly something to somebody or something that our faith won't work. That's not what this is talking about. It's not about our love. Our love is works. Get a hold of that. Our love is works. God's love is supernatural. It is a fruit of the Spirit. I've always said that the fruit of the Spirit, that they're all love. They're all attributes of love. They come from love. Love is in the lineup. It's the first thing. Faith cannot work without it. Here's what worketh mean, to be active or efficient. Your faith is going to work because of your confidence in God's love in you. That he'd already, well, let me just put it this way. I've been seeing myself in front of a bunch of people and just saying, okay, all of you have ailments, just stand up. And I just say to you, the word says already that by stripes you're healed. So you're healed. Act like it. Receive the love. What's the love? It's already done. There's the love. It was done at Calvary. There's nothing wrong with you. It's simply what you choose to believe. You can believe the lies of the devil and the symptoms that come, or you can believe God's love that was manifested and shed on us, poured out on us abundantly, that we might walk in everything that he paid for us to have. Already paid for, not a promise that we're just, oh, someday. No, this is something that people have to come to the fact, and that's what Jesus did. People say, oh, he did miracles. No, he didn't. He did, but he didn't. He said, rise up and walk. Their faith rose up, their confidence in God. Well, bless God, I'm healed. They rose up, they walked. It's already done. I don't have to conjure something up. I don't have to pray for hours and fast. I just said, you're here. Stand up. If you can get them to act, believe the love, see? Believe the love. Perfect love casts out fear. When you become so confident in God, it doesn't matter what comes against you. You know what has come against you is a bold-faced lie. Well, how do you know that? The Word already says it. If he bore it, then what's coming against us today? It's not any different today. But the propaganda we're seeing spewed. A lot of these riots and stuff are just like those films you used to watch at the movies, you know, the war things are going on in the war. They could put anything in there and everybody just believes it and takes it at face value. It's a lie. We've already won. That is the truth. That's why I get a little disgruntled with these Anons that go on there and they just start talking that fear. I'm thinking, I'm not listening to that. It's because they're not informed. They don't see the whole picture. They don't have any confidence. One minute they're talking, yeah, it's going to be fine. The next minute, oh, don't believe it. Don't believe it out of any quarter. Believe this book, we win. You're not the sick trying to get well. You're not the broke trying to get rich. How much more love does he have to bestow for you to be convinced? How did Abraham finally get the baby? Full persuasion. He started praising God. Yes, you're right, God. I've struggled for 25 years with this stupid thing. Trying to work it out myself and made a mess of it. But when he became fully persuaded, well, Lord, you really mean it, don't you? It's over. Well, it was over before it ever started. That's what God's saying today. My love caused it to be over before you were ever born. So whatever you would face in life, perfect love cast out fear. What's perfect love? Someone that would take care of everything that you would ever need in your life for all time. That's perfect love. They put everything that you needed before themselves. That's what Jesus did. He put everything you would ever need on himself to bear so you wouldn't have to bear any of it. Is that perfect love or what? You can't make somebody love somebody. You can't do it. But whenever you have been blessed so much and so rich, enriched, that God in you will just flow out to other people. When God's had mercy on you and you come across people, you just feel so sorry for them, you want to help them so bad. And, a lot of times I just come away sad because, they're just not getting it. They just don't understand. But I can't be too hard on them. It's taken me a lot of years to get here, to understand myself. But it's the truth, nonetheless. All right. This is not your love, and you can no more love in yourself than you can do anything else. So stop critiquing yourself and beating up on yourself when you miss it. Because it's not about your love. I know that's so emphasized in the body of Christ, and everybody says, oh. Now, I'm not saying go be ugly to people. Don't get me wrong here. I'm talking about letting the love of God flow through you that flows naturally, that you're equipped with. It's bestowed on you to flow. Okay. This is not your love, and you can no more love in yourself than you can do anything else. This is by the working of the Holy Spirit in the renewing of the mind process. When we keep our thoughts on the love of God, how much He loves us and how much He did for us, then we can cast down the fearful thoughts. This is powerful. This is basically what Matthew 6 is talking about, where it's talking about you can choose your master today. You can either get into care. What am I going to eat today, Lord? What am I going to drink today? What am I going to wear today? Or you can, like Peter says, cast your care, because the devil roars like a lion, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, who resists steadfast in the faith. You've got to resist that. You've got to learn to let the Lord care for you. He already has done it. But our fear will cause that not to manifest. Our fear puts the brakes on. It's like the song was saying, I have confidence to come into the place where you are. Well, I'll tell you what, the place where He is, there is no disorder, there is no out of order, there is no lack, there is no sickness, there is nothing, no sin, no, not in the place where He's at. There's none of that. Fear says, what am I going to do? Love says, I will take care of you. Our focus must be on God's love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He chose to look at you through the eyes of love and see you complete, see you restored and everything perfect. That's what He saw. When Jesus went to the cross, it's what he saw. He said he despised the shame, but he looked forward. He looked at the many sons and they were coming to him. The many sons. Because he said, I'm like a kernel of wheat that goes in the ground. It has to die for it to spring forth. That's exactly what he did. All right. When Satan comes to scare you, your thoughts must be disciplined to God's love that nothing can keep you from. Meditate on his love instead of the prison cell or the torture chamber the enemy through fear seeks to keep you in. See, it's a choice here. Paul and Silas in the jail. It's a choice. They could have chosen to, what are we going to do? Oh my God. But they decided to do what? Sing praise. These guys, this wasn't their first rodeo for sure. They'd been in some hot spots and they learned how praise was the deliverer. Praising God. They were showing forth their confidence in God when they sang those praises. They were saying, Lord, we believe you. We believe your love over our situation and what we're in. It hurts. They just beat us to a pulp. It hurts. How was Jesus able to go to the cross and disarm the devil? Love. Love. Let's look at John 3:16. A lot of people read John 3:16, but they never read the rest. They never read the rest of the chapter, or the rest of the verses to the end of that chapter. Verse 16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. See, he didn't come to condemn the world. He didn't come to tell them what was wrong with them and they better get their act together. No, he came to be a sacrifice. He tried to show them the kingdom way, those who would listen. All right, Psalms 91 is a perfect depiction of a person who dwells in God. I won't read the whole psalm, but we'll just look at the first few scriptures. It kind of sets the pace for the dweller. I see in this psalm a confidence. David wrote most of these psalms. I don't think he wrote all of them, but he wrote most of them. It says here, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Sounds like he's in this day, isn't it? 1,000 may fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now, I said I wasn't going to read it all, but it's just too good. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. A long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The dweller just oozes with confidence in God and his deliverance, his love. This is a depiction of how a person dwells in God. There is no fear here. Same as Psalms 23. The shepherd leads still waters, green pastures, overflowing cup. I shall not lack. He's my shepherd. I shall not lack. Come on, let's read it. Come on. I've hit most of it, but I mean, this is a love fest, people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you see here? This is a walk where there's no fear of anything, about anything. God covers it all, even your soul, which gives us the trouble. No fear here either. Who wrote most of these Psalms? David, of course, and we know about 1 Samuel 17, when he slew Goliath, when everybody run for the foxhole and the giant come out with his boast, what did David say? This day I'm going to cut off your head. This day. David's little slingshot didn't kill that giant, but an angel did, back in him. We just saw he gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Ever been in a situation where you knew angels intervened? I have on several occasions. I knew I had angelic help that prevented me from being in an accident or something. That's that love at work. Love for you. That watch care over you. That's why the Lord said to me that the earth is like a baby in the womb. And that means you're each as an individual like a baby in the womb, that he, like a pregnant mother, is so careful to guard that baby. That's the way God guards us and sends his angels to do so. David knew of his father's love. I think it's Joseph Prince that brings out something about David, and there's a scripture he gave that David made the observation. He said, God likes me. God likes me. A lot of people would say, do you think God loves you, God likes you? No, I think he's pretty disappointed in me most of the time. That's not our father. That's the condemner. That's the condemner. David knew his father's love. God was faithful to him, and he knew by experience that God always came through. He acknowledged God's love to him over the fear of Goliath. Jesus has already taken out Goliath for us. Colossians 2:15 said he disarmed them. He made a show of them openly. He disarmed the devil. You don't need a bailout today. You just need to do Isaiah 55. It tells us to do. Let the wicked man forsake his thoughts. My ways aren't like your ways. He has given us joint seating with him. Colossians 3. Well, let's read Colossians because it's a good chapter. Chapter 3. People need to be reminded whose they are and where they sit. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Why are you looking down here at all what's going on? The circumstances. Above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. Pay attention to what you're listening to, what you're looking at. And then you'll know why you're either up or down. Think about what you're thinking about. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ and God. Do you ever go to a funeral home? Do you ever see a corpse over there fretting about itself? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, whatever it is, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, not free, but Christ is all in all. Now you can see how divided our world is as far as racism, how far we are from God. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So as we learn God's ways and how much He loves us, it shows an example of how we are to treat one another. God reigns on the wicked and the just. When you're secure in the Lord and you are partaking of His love, then it takes the bite out of your attitude to want to bite on somebody else. You think, God's been so good to me, it just makes me want to be good to you. Do you see it? It's not a work. Mm-hmm. Accept the love today. Love says I can, fear says I can't. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says God's love will never fail. Didn't say your love will fail. Look at the divorce courts. Human love will fail, but God's love will not fail. Brother Hagin used to say, love never found itself into a divorce court, or any other kind of court, for that matter. Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. The Strong's, the word complete there means replete, to cram, level up a hollow, or to furnish, satisfy, execute, finish a task, or verify. 1 John 4:18 about the perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. The word perfect means complete. Same word. Perfect, complete. God's perfect love makes you complete. James 1 talks about being complete, being perfect, wanting nothing, lacking in nothing. All right, we'll read that because I think we need to. James 1, verse 2. Now I told you, all the fruit of the Spirit are love. My brethren, count it all joy. Is joy a fruit of the Spirit? Count it all joy. When you fall into diverse temptations, you could say, count it all love. When you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, if the devil can cause you to react and get in your flesh, shipwreck. But if you'll be patient, trust God, the deliverer. He's already done a complete work in you. To be a success. If you will, let patience have her perfect work. Is patience a fruit of the Spirit? Let love have her perfect work. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If somebody comes to you and says, I just need wisdom. Well, you've come to the right place. My God always shows me what to do. But let him ask in faith nothing wavering, for that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So a man that's not double-minded is going to be ruffled by whatever comes, but he's going to be looking to God. Why does the trial come? To invoke a reaction. So the devil wants you to act out and say words you don't want to say and you don't mean to say, so he can use them against you. Strong's there, perfect, complete. I've said on many occasions that I believe all the fruit of the Spirit are love. They are. They're powerful. This is the fruit of God's love working within us. He bestowed it on us. We are oozing with it. But we cannot do both. We can't be reacting and just letting the world slap us about and acting out like everybody else. Thing is, if you get a few victories under your belt, you see the love of God come through, it gets you where you're more stable. Where you're learning to let the love come through. Kind of like those going into the lion's den or into the fiery furnace. That love come up in them. No, our God, he'll deliver us. But even if he didn't, we're not going to do that. Oh, Daniel, was your God able to deliver you? Oh, king, live forever. God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. And I used him as a pillow. See, his love is drawing us and wooing us to confidence. And what happens when people learn this? And they can go out and do what Jesus did. They can go out and pray for the masses. Bestow the love that's been bestowed on them to other people because they have confidence. This is how the fire ignites. I see this nation on fire with love where it has been total hate. That's all we see spewed forth is total hate. All the DNC did this week was to spew forth hatred of our beloved president. That's all they did. That's all they have. And that's not God. That's the God of this world. So I hope this helped y'all today to see it's not about us. It's about grace coming on us. Because he's already completed us and made us whole. We're not trying to get better doing something. It's all in there. It's just the more we act and stay in the spirit and not react in our flesh, the more so this is going to start coming forth. That's why he's allowing us to go through some things to see how we're going to act. Like I told you, it's like military training. They put them out there in the field and they go through all these different kind of maneuvers. Sometimes they're sleep deprived. Sometimes they don't have access to food. You know, sometimes they're under enemy fire. All kinds of things come against them. And the sergeant is watching over them. The general back there giving the orders, they're watching over to see how they, if they're ready to go into the real battle. They're being trained. And they have to let them go through a little pain because when they're out in the field, they're going to go through some things. Look at what the disciples went through. Look what Paul went through. But they weren't failures. He's just getting us battle ready to go out there and do it. And I'll tell you what. When we start acting like Jesus and seeing the results Jesus did, there won't be any more of this. Who are they? It's not about our fame, but they see somebody that can get a hold of God for them. They're gonna be. You think they're lined up for Trump rallies? You didn't see nothing yet of people that get a hold of this and walk in it. It's coming. I believe it with all of my heart. It's coming. Okay.